We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Special guest this week, my friend Ant Wright, former basketball player at the University of Michigan and kind of my go-to guy for anything Michigan sports or college basketball related. Ant, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, man.
So, obviously, Jordan Poole had a monster preseason game to kind of kick off the preseason, and he was excellent at the end of last year for the Warriors, and there's just kind of been a lot of hype around him this summer. And whenever I think of Jordan Poole, I kind of think of a conversation we had when he was drafted. You told me you thought he had a lot of hidden potential and it just take a little time for him to get there. Right. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't know too much about him. Like, I'd watched a handful of Michigan games, but I wasn't, like locked in the way you were. So let's start there. What did you see when Jordan Poole's at Michigan? Why'd you think he had a chance to be a good player?
All right. So his freshman year, what got me first is that, like, a lot of freshmen, when they come in and they're not playing, usually when they get those junk minutes at the end of blowouts, they'll go through the offense, do all that stuff. When he came into games, whether it was junk minutes or the team was up by 10, 15 points and he gets some minutes in the first half, he came in with the idea, like, I am going to show people that this dude needs to play me a lot more, put me in the rotation. And you just saw him just every game. Like, he would come in, he would just make it work, whether it's making shots or he was like getting to the cup or he was creating for others. I mean, he was doing so much. And I remember tweeting, I was like, I guarantee you Jordan Poole is going to get into the rotation in the next couple of weeks because of his attitude right now. He's ready. He's always engaged, right?
Yeah.
And then he got into his rotation, got into the role of being that spark plug, that microwave off the bench, right? And then in year two, people looked for him to take that next step, which he did, especially in November and December, where Michigan and John Beilein basically made him like the second point, where he was coming off screens and he was that three-level guy that you're kind of seeing now. He wasn't doing it at this level, right? But you could definitely see it. Like, he's got some juice. And I was waiting for them to really dig more into that January, February, March. But then what happened was, Beilein took him off the ball because our point guard was very, very good. He was someone that you had to play, but he couldn't really shoot the ball. Teams didn't respect him. So when Jordan was on the ball.
So like traditional old school college.
Yeah. So when Jordan was on the ball, the point guard's man wouldn't always respect him being open, and it jammed a lot of the actions. So JB took him off the ball and basically said, hey, look, to the point guard, like, hey, look, this is your team. You do the thing. And then when it comes time for him to get drafted and draft comes and all that, the people are like, why is he doing this? Why is he doing? And I'm like, look, shut up. He's getting drafted based off of what he showed in November and December. Teams know what went on during January, February,
so,
March.
That's really interesting. I feel like no one was really digging into that. So you really think part of the reason he was kind of, let's just say, under the radar is like he was forced to kind of sacrifice his ideal role because that was just the best option for Michigan?
Almost treated him like Duncan Robinson. Like, hey, go you. If you guys watch the Long Shot Pod, I'm like,
sure.
Duncan Robinson stuff is fantastic. You know, if you know, you go and listen to whether he talks about what happened at Michigan, like I get deja vu because the same thing happened to me. Like, yo, let two guys play.
Was Beilein the coach when you played?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, hey, you go stay in the corner and you wait for other guys to do stuff. And if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. All right. And you get maybe one or two plays, maybe every week. That's over the course of like two games. So that's what started happening with Jordan. He started being that guy waiting for the ball. And next thing you know, he's taking not great shots because he's not getting those same touches, those same reps. So when he's getting his, when he's getting the ball, he's almost in a point where he's like rushing. And he's like, okay, if I don't get this opportunity now, then I get one for another 3-4 minutes, right? So his numbers became a little bit inefficient. And people were frustrated, even Michigan fans, like, he's not ready. I'm like, blah, blah. I'm like, look, shut up. No, he's going to go to the league and he's going to get drafted. I don't know where. He'll go late first, early second. People thought I was crazy. And I'm just like, look, man, these teams are not dumb. Like, they are going to draft him based off of what he did against North Carolina. You know, what they did in November and December doesn't just go away. Right? Teams know that Jordan.
I always feel like that's also like the hardest thing with scouting college basketball because it's such a different game than the pros. And like, yeah, like a guy like Zion doesn't matter. But like for most players, like they can look a lot better or they can look, I don't want to say average, but like just not up to their potential if they're in the wrong college system or they're playing in a team that plays a different way. Like we see it every year. There's a handful of guys who get drafted between 25 and 40 who in college were not special, I guess. And then all of a sudden they pop in the league.
Yeah, exactly. Like my man's got drafted from Virginia. It's about 6'9".
Oh, Trey Murphy?
Yeah, had mediocres. Go look at his per points per game. Very bleh, but yeah. But put some context into it. He's playing in the slowest system in college basketball. And the worst concepts ever on offense. And he's still a 50-40-90 guy in the ACC. That's why he gets drafted as a 6'8", 6'9 wing. That's why.
Yeah, they might even – that's a good point. Because, like, it was pretty clear Trey Murphy was going to – at least carve out a role in the NBA as like a 3-and-D guy. But honestly, that might be underselling him, for example, because it's like, based on what you saw, I mean, who's really going to look all that special in Virginia's system, right?
Right, exactly. And then they're like, we're getting this guy who averaged 10, 11 points per game.
Right.
He was at Rice? What? It's like, yeah, okay. Do a little research, okay? He went to Rice. He was 6'4", right? He was 6'4", grew 5 inches in college. And he's playing in the worst offensive system known to man. And he was still super efficient.
Golden State Warriors basketball is finally back. And there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Warriors tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site. And the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. TickPick got rid of all those office service fees that all the other ticket sites charge, which allows them to guarantee the best prices on all of the NBA tickets. So listen to this, Sam. If you don't believe it, if you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference.
Really? 110%?
110%. Oh, man. Of the difference in their purchase price. So as we all are, and as we'll get into this podcast and for the next month, Jordan Poole, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, all these guys that you're going to want to watch at the Chase Center this season, TickPick has you covered. All you have to do is visit TickPick.com/LightYears and use the promo code LightYears to save $10 on your first order of Golden State Warriors basketball tickets.
Remember, TickPick.com/LightYears.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's take this back to Jordan Poole a little bit. So you firmly believe, so you like the mentality from like day one. And by the way, the other thing about Jordan Poole, which I kind of overlooked until this point, but he was always young for his grade too. And that stuff tends to play more at the lower levels, like, cause you're just physically not as mature in most cases. If you're like the guy who's 6-9 months younger and everyone in your same grade level.
Right.
He came around pretty well. I guess I want to take it in this direction with you. Do you think it's a thing for all Michigan players then who played under Beilein where they kind of just are overlooked when they go pro?
I can't say that they're overlooked when they go pro because mm-hmm. You have someone like, I don't know, like Tim Hardaway. He was still a first round pick.
Nick Stauskas.
Dude, I tell people all the time, look, man, Nick Stauskas went to the wrong programs. And sometimes that's all it is, going to the wrong team. I mean, look, imagine if Draymond got drafted to, like, the T-Wolves.
Yeah, that's
Where
true.
Where is he at? Ukraine?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's no disrespect to him. Because him himself has said he was almost out the league because he was playing the wrong position. But who's patient enough And
creative enough, really. Like, right. I mean, who thinks, like, you know, this is my answer to interior defense? This guy, you know?
Right. So. The 6'6", 6'7" guy who doesn't stop talking, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm a huge Draymond fan, but let's be real. Let's take a step back and understand that if he goes to 27, 28 other teams, he's probably out the league in about 2-3 years. And, you know, and Beeline guys, you know, there was the knock on don't draft him because Beeline made him look really, really good.
Right.
And then it's like after a few years, like, wait a minute.
Might be the opposite.
Guys aren't that bad. Right. It's like, okay, you see like Karis, you see what Karis is doing. You see what Tim is doing. You know, Duncan signs for what, 5 years, 90? What?
Yeah.
You know, after he does this thing at, he's what, 27, 28? He's pretty old too.
Yeah, but late bloomer there.
It's, I don't know. It's a little weird because Beeline likes skill guys.
Right.
He likes high skill guys. And so they may take a little bit while longer because they have to catch up athletically, speed wise. And once they catch up with their bodies and that skill, they merge together. Now you get a much better NBA product.
And to be honest, that might play more so in this NBA, because this NBA is far more about skill than like brute physicality the way it was, let's just say, 20 years ago. Like,
exactly.
There, you can get away with a guy who's maybe not as strong as other people if he's got the skill. So let's talk about, let's get back to Jordan Poole a little bit here. So like, clearly he kind of was somewhat overlooked just because he wasn't necessarily in his ideal role the whole way through. What do you think his ceiling is right now? Because I think there's a realistic chance he's going to be the second leading scorer on the Warriors this year. Klay's going to miss, let's just say, 30 games, and he's probably going to be minutes limited most of the season. Like, I would imagine Klay is going to, you know, the back of his, like, his box score is going to say like 25 minutes a game, maybe averaging 14, 15 points, just because they're just trying to avoid him re-aggravating anything. Right. And you're Wiggins, right. I don't think Wiggins is, he's just not a, I mean, he's going to score what he scores, but he's not going to be a guy who's going to like hunt buckets if he's feeling it the way that Poole or Klay or Steph do. So I think there's a real chance Poole might end up being the second leading scorer on this team.
With Wiggs, though, I mean, it's almost like you'll, like, watch the game and then see that Wiggs has, like, 20. You're like, how did he get 20?
Right, yeah.
He just finds just quiet buckets. He's a quiet bucket getter. Jordan will hit you for 12 points in a matter of 30 seconds, if he's really going. Ceiling, though, man, that's hard to say. And I was talking about it on Twitter with someone earlier today, and I'm just like, man, you know what? I think the Warriors are going to try to extend him next year. And unless it is a max number, he's going to turn it down.
Sheesh.
And he's going to play through 2023. And I believe he's unrestricted, right?
No, he's restricted.
He is? Okay.
So they have matching rights. But you do bring up a good point, which is like, I mean, if he really does have a breakout year, he's going to be very pricey to re-sign. And they're going to be in a position of, do we want to have the world's, you know, largest luxury tax bill of all time, or do we have to work something else? I mean, we're obviously getting ahead of ourselves here, you know.
They have to maximize him in the next 2 years with Steph.
Right, yeah.
They have to.
I will say this. He will be up for restricted free agency the same year Wiggins' contract is up. So you figure Wiggins will either be retained on a lower number or they're just going to let him walk. That would open up some, like if Jordan Poole continues progressing at this rate, I just can't see them letting him leave. Like, even if it's a little, even if it's pricey, even if it's like, we could, Steph and Jordan Poole are a lot of fun to watch together, but like, I could see that being an issue in the later rounds of the playoffs because they're both kind of the same size, you know.
Steph's 33 too, right?
Yeah. He's going to be 34.
35 by then?
Yeah.
By 2023. I'm not saying he's going to be out the league, but.
He's not gonna be out the league.
You're right, but you know, you only got what, 3 or 4 years left, and you know, you're really gonna want, like I said, you don't want Poole to just leave your team. But
we're gonna have ourselves.
Do you see them do you see them extending him? And is there a salary cap adjustment happening soon in a year or two?
One that we don't know what's going to happen with the new CBA. So everything could be new in that way. There's potentially a salary cap adjustment in 2025. I want to say that's when the new TV money theoretically comes in and where they could raise the cap big time. But back to the Jordan Poole thing. So he's on his rookie deal. Rookie deals are 4 years and then he's a restricted free agent. So he's entering year three. So you are correct. If he continues progressing at this number, I mean, there's going to be teams who throw him a ton of money just to try to screw the Warriors. And then there's always like 15 teams in the NBA who are dying for a lead guard. And he looks like he's progressing to be a potential lead guard. So he's going to have offers. I'm just so excited to see him because he's playing so much more decisive. Like really it started at the end of last year and it looks like it's carrying over.
You can just see it. Like the confidence is looking just kill like at every level. Like, oh my gosh. Like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Like he is just getting to the cup whenever he wants, getting to his midi whenever he wants to. He got range out to 30.
Pulling from 28 and Steve Kerr is just smiling. That's the wildest part for me because like Steve doesn't even like it when Steph does that stuff, but he tolerates it. I think he's truly kind of like, you know, and credit to Steve Kerr. That's evolving as a coach. Like you kind of have to let your skill guys have a little more rope and deal with the fact that every now and then they take shots that you wouldn't have taken when you were coming up.
Pool is a fireball and you don't want to put the water out, right? You just want to, you know, just contain it enough and you got to let those guys go.
Yeah. And I think that was some of the issues that he was having his first year and a half because Steve was kind of trying to rein him in. And I don't know that he figured out like how to balance what he needed to do for the team and just playing his own game. And it's starting to come around. So I think it's going to be a huge year for him. And I really appreciate you. You got anything you want to plug before we get out here?
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter. I'm on YouTube. It's Ant Wright. I usually respond if you ask me something, anything. And holler me on the Twitter webs and all that fun stuff, man.
Yeah, I hear you got some cool stuff coming out this year, but I'm not going to blow it up just yet. They're just going to have to tune in and see what's going on.
Sure.